we need Witcher 3 Arena. Open Witcher 3 Arena.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where Geralt just goes, hup.
No. When I hit people with my sword, it goes, doop. Welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Old Man Vin here at LGC Actual, switching the bits in our little downtown Athens studio, and joined every week by Jordan Swang in Ontario, Toronto land. That's right. Toronto,
sure,
Ontario.
Why not?
Yeah, sure. Same place. Yeah. Next to each other, right? West Coast.
Ontario, Toronto.
Space Canada. I don't know. Speaking of Space Canada. Not on the Isle of Man, but the man on the Isle. One Pedro Mateus. Together with you, Shed Realm Dynamic, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. He's here to save the day.
I think Spanada is like what happens when Canada and Spain do the fusion dance.
Fight. Spanada.
Yeah.
Would you fist it, Spanada?
Like, yeah, Spanada. It's like maple syrup covered paella.
What is the national animal of Spanada?
The duck-billed platypus.
Nailed it. What's up?
Made out of spare parts and somehow still venomous.
Yeah, still venomous, man.
Yeah, the superior form of life. That's all I'm saying.
100%. Let's see. I've been playing around a lot with the Focusrite Solo Generation 4, which I've had for a while. I just hadn't had a chance to get around to it for Interfacing Linux. And it's a fun little audio interface, a bunch of surprising things in there. You know, Scarlett Focusrite actually came and helped the guy out to write the mixer GUI utility, which we could do things like update firmware and control the mixing and routing inside of it. But it's also got some downsides. I have some questions about it really being Gen 4-thiness. So I got to get that together. I'll probably have that out hopefully by the end of next week, but that's really all I got going. Outside of that new Transformers movie trailer, I'm like, man, I don't know. Maybe. Let me know.
Maybe it will be more than meets the eye.
Jordan Swag, outside of fighting Jason.
Just people.
No.
Jason.
Yes,
I'm fighting Jason Statham nonstop.
Yeah, I thought he was talking about Jason. Jordan's like, nah, dude, Jason.
Jason Statham, Jason Momoa, I walk outside and I'm attacked on all sides by Jasons. Jason and the Argonauts, all of them.
Now I have Jordan with the overlay, press X to Jason.
the thing is, people keep calling me fucking Jason. Do I look like a Jason? Do I give off a Jason vibe?
You're asking the wrong person. I was born in the non-English speaking.
Do I give a Jason vibe?
Yeah, Jason, then. All right.
Yeah, in Portugal, right? Like,
hell, Jason.
I don't know. You look like what's his name?
Jason.
Jason from Heavy Rain. I look exactly like that child. Jason.
No, the actor dude. The of the Stoner movies. I don't know
the answer is no. I don't strike you as a Jason. No. I just get confused because people keep calling me Jason, and it's been a recurring thing. When people don't remember my name, they call me Jason, and I don't understand why. That's my update. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
No problem. What's up with your what's in your dragon book?
Monster stats.
Ah.
Yeah.
Is there any interesting facts about dragons that we need to know?
Their breath weapon does 1d8 per hit dice damage, and you gotta make a save or you're gonna get fucked.
Seems legit.
No, Seth Rogen, that's his name.
Pedro Mateus.
I don't really feel like I look like him anymore. Maybe when I was like way fatter, but
I don't
like,
know what Seth Rogen looks like, man. Never have. I'm sure if you pointed at him, I'm like, yeah, probably. I wouldn't fight you on it.
I used to get Hurley from Lost a lot.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Yes. Now I want to pause the show and be like, whatever happened to Hurley, man? He was kind of cool. When you're not busy buying apology donuts, Pedro, have you taken a break to get up to anything this week?
Not really.
Work. Have you put some shoe polish on your car to make it
new? But I did buy the Auto Glim plastic restorer, and I haven't applied it yet because it's been raining, And I hear that it's a little bit of a pointless exercise if you apply it, and it immediately rains on it afterwards. So I kind of want to let it dry out properly. So I'm waiting until the weather improves a bit.
It's just a nice transparent shower.
Yes, with all the crap that's on the car that goes over the thing that you just scrubbed.
Do it. Bring it. We're never going to be able to scrub the horse. It's allergic to the baths. It doesn't water. It's not even amphibious. It's not even a plat horse.
It doesn't want no scrubs. A scrub isn't anyone who's going to get your steam. Hanging on your passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. Well, so GDC had some talks. You can peruse them now. But one of them was how to get the most out of your Steam experience as a developer. Because it turns out, according to this talk, there is actually quite a lot of visibility that Steam provides in terms of getting, you know, games in front of people's faces that, when people are talking about discoverability on Steam, they're not really taking advantage of the tools available.
I'm just looking at his slides, dude, and I'm like, what about UFOs, bro?
Yeah, dude, I want to believe. Like, fucking, like, yeah, Agent Scully just comes out from the side of the stage and clotheslines him before he can start talking. Yeah. But yeah, there's a couple tips. Number one, translation. Make sure that your stuff is available in other languages. It may seem like an upfront expense, but there are two Steam stores. The secret
wake
one.
Up,
there's also the chocolate store too, but we'll get to that in a minute. Getting stuff translated into simplified Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and figs, aka French, Italian, German, and Spanish, are going to be your best bets for getting, even if it's just the game page and not the game itself, that's better than nothing, because apparently lots of non-English speakers play demo. There's also the matter of, you know, if you actually talk to Valve people and you get them to like your game, sometimes, like, just nepotism works. If they know you and like you, then they'll just promote your game more.
I mean, wouldn't it be harder to, like, show examples of nepotism not working?
I mean, in the long term, yes. But in the short term, for getting that specific goal, yeah.
You could have that person that everyone knows and they just don't like, so.
But the other thing is, conventional wisdom is don't launch your game at the same time that AAA games are launching at the same time. But apparently, that advice is bullshit, because everyone is doing that, and so all those carousel slots are up for grabs. So if you want to get eyes on your game, launch it at around the same time there's a big game coming out, because those guys are paying for ads. No one else wants to compete for them, so it's all up for grabs. And apparently, also, if you make over $1 million on Steam, they'll send you chocolate. So now I know how to get free candy out of Valve without having to sneak up to Gabe's van that is, like, white and unmarked and goes directly to his super yacht.
A $300 box of chocolate if you make $1 million a year.
I mean, I am
curious what a $300 box of chocolate, yes, I will admit to that.
As someone who will do quite a bit for free chocolate, this seems entirely reasonable.
Okay, hang on. Now, see, I was hoping to see something on eBay. Nobody's selling the Steam box. I want to see what it looks like, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't think it's branded by them. Probably just buy, like, a
you
want to
believe it's not, but I want to believe
yes,
it is.
Yes, I want to believe it's not. It's just a fancy box of chocolate from someone else.
No, Pedro, it's a box of chocolates in the shape of G-Man's head, and you open it up, and there are chocolates inside.
It comes in a Steam controller case.
Well, yeah, they have to use up all those old Steam controller boxes. Yeah. They just threw them out, and so they just sent chocolates in them.
So, yeah, I mean, the whole point of the talk, there'll be a link to everything, including a direct link to the entire talk itself. Dude had a bunch of slides to get through, which he did. And, the takeaway is, like, you know, get paid. You know, you're giving them 30%. Get some use out of it, right?
Yes. If you are paying them the 30%, you milk that shit. You milk it until they tell you, it's like, all right, cool it.
Yeah, and, you know, don't comparing yourself to these chocolate receipts is a fool's errand. Dude, if you've got multiple boxes of chocolate from Valve, you're doing all right.
I just have multiple boxes of chocolate, so I'm not doing so well.
Like, these are developers that are playing a different game than you are. You know, they got their chocolate box stack, and you're like, how many you got?
Their sticky fingers are alight at their keyboards, just like gooping them up.
Right, or they're dead of diabetes because $300 chocolate. Now, could you like save that, or would you be like a $5 milk and shake and be like, I got to know what this tastes like?
Oh, I would want to know
what it tastes like. I'm curious. I'm genuinely curious.
What the hell is $300? Do you think that would incentivize you to get another million in sales just so you could have one closed?
100%. If I get hungry, I'm like, I got to start writing down some game ideas because I want some free chocolate.
That's the only way to get it done. Couple of new games this week, starting with a naughty word, according to one Jordan.
Yes, according to me. According
to your name, I was going to call you something else there for a minute, man.
I thought you were like looking for the Korean version of my name, which I think it's just Jordan. But I learned this on the playground as a child, and I had to look this up because I wasn't sure about it, and I didn't want to spout non-truths on the internet, unlike some people. Shiba, a new dawn. Shiba in Korean means fuck. I just want you to know that. So it's actually fuck a new dawn. But it's a 2D platformer, Metroidvania style. The map is like very much Metroid. But the vibe kind of reminds me a bit of like a Flash game, but like that's not an insult. Like it's just the way that like the foreground and the background don't really blend together reminds me a lot of like Flash games. But this is like one of those good ass Flash games that like someone put a lot of time and effort into and that actually looks good. So yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting like some Prince of Persia type vibes with it. And each time I see like Metroidvania side scroller platform, I'm like, I'll take a look at it. And really my only complaint with anything, the art style is like, this looks like what you see a lot of modern 2D Metroidvania. This is done in that style of like, not really cohesive, like rigging on the characters. They just don't seem to move quite right. Right. And, you know, hey, that could have been a choice. It might not be. The only problem I have with any of that is that jump animation is, like, silly. It's silly. It's just silly.
I could live with the jumping animation. It's the, because I was watching, like, the pre-recorded video that they're pretending is a live broadcast of the game. Everything's a fucking damage sponge. And we have Simon Belmont at home with a budget Cortana there. They're not.
It's called Alexa. Thank you very much.
they're fine. They look okay. But the enemies being damaged sponges is not. That's the thing that gets me to look at your game and go, no.
I know Pedro likes one shot, one kill. That's why he's a huge fan of Souls likes.
I do. As it turns out, if you spec out your character pretty good on the first Dark Souls, you can pretty much two-shot most bosses.
But are you really adhering to the spirit of the game at that point, or are you just being a little cheapo?
If the game specifically allows you to do that,
go out of his way in front load to find the easiest way to get through it.
I mean, that's me too. Honestly, I'm not going to talk shit about that. I am grind with like the level 300 Pidgey against Brock. That's fine.
Well, I mean, you know, like Damage Sponge, I'll say that that's one of the reasons I've never enjoyed playing the Borderlands series. Like, I couldn't get into it. I click on a fucking head. I click on a fucking head. It better blow the fuck up. All right. And if a number pops up, I'm like, fuck out of here.
This is me with Outer Worlds right now. Is number one, I'm trying to get out of the headspace of Tiny Tina, which the shooting mechanics are very, very different in that. So I'm like, I can't parkour or like slide anymore. And I need to make that adjustment. Mm. And number two,
the slow motion.
But what do we got next? Bolt Sponge.
Symphonic Steel.
Oh, yes. You can make that steel make some truly magical and musical noises, or not. It's Steel Symphony. It's a space MOBA 2D type of situation.
See, this is the problem with space, is that red line.
Yes.
Always gets in my nerves. Every time I'm in space, it's like this fucking red line shows up. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, there's a red line around you at every time in space. Just you got to be careful of it. But yeah, it is very much a MOBA boiled down to its very core elements. It's just 2D, and you have a team of four or five people, and the opponents have a similar team. It's online. It's online PvP. So Speaking, I don't know, give it a try. It's free. That's the interesting part here is that it's free. So, yes,
speaking of Flash games, this is actually a spiritual successor to Steel Sentinels, which was a Flash game.
There you go. Yeah.
I wonder if they take enough time to try to explain the lore of the Red Box.
It's like the blackout zone, like in Three Body Problem. The show hasn't gotten to that point yet, but maybe it will until Netflix.
Hey, it includes a level editor, PvP over LAN, online PvP, online coop.
Yep.
Solid. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to complain with that. Pretty dope. Always like to see it. But what do we got next?
Can you pronounce this, Ven?
Fuck you.
I pronounced it earlier.
I don't want to hear you say it. I want to hear Ven say it. V
stands for vengeance. Don't get too excited yet, though, kids. I know, because some people are like, oh my god, it's because I know this is a popular thing. I'd heard those words spoken before, you know, enough times. I'm like, that's a thing I've heard of. Publisher is Sega. Now, why are we bringing this up? Well, you know,
but
this was a former. Well, that was some butt, wasn't it?
There's a lot of that. It's one of those games.
This game was a former Switch exclusive, and this is not native. It's Unreal Engine. Why are we talking about it? Well, they've taken the time, because this doesn't come out until the June 14th, or last year, right?
A little over a month.
But why are we talking about it? Well, if we scroll down here, they've taken the time to get Steam Deck verified.
Yay!
Yay, everybody. There it is. Wait, you need to move that up a little higher, Valve. I'm just going to be the one saying that.
Well, to be fair, if you're looking at it on the Steam Deck, it shows up at the top of the page.
But what about the other 12 to 17 of us that are...
You're using Steam charts. That's for real.
Dude, I had to ask because I'd never played the game, and I don't think I'm going to be playing the game, but Steam's like, hey, it's similar to The Witcher 3 and Nier Replicate. I'm like, is it now? And both of these lads were like, absolutely not.
It's technically an RPG, yes, in that respect.
I'm sure like a similar number of zeros follow like the budget, and that's what they have in common. But yeah, this like Shin Megami Tensei is basically Pokemon. It is.
Instead of monsters, you're fighting demons and gods, but yes.
I mean, that's what Pokemon are.
And one very green penis on a chariot.
Dude. This brings up a couple of things, man. This always gets me thinking, like, good on them, good on Sega. You know, I'm always going to give Sega a shout out anytime they go through, like, you know, early time to make sure anything works on the deck, because I want to be in their good graces when that Golden Axe comes out with multiplayer. And we play the snot out of that. That's going to be a good time. But it makes me drive back around to just having to think about the Steam performance not being a metric in the verification process. Like, it's just not. What do they check in the Steam verification progress? Have you guys checked lately? Do you have any idea off the top of your head without clicking on the link right there and taking a look and saying, oh, yes.
For the Steam Deck, they check if it shows a native controller. The text is readable. If the
if you can actually like input text with the on-screen keyboard without having to like,
yes, if it pulls up the on-screen keyboard automatically without you manually having to summon it. The there was also the game settings. They have to like if the default game settings don't give you a playable frame rate, that also disqualifies you.
Playable frame rate. Yeah, I'm not seeing that one, Pedro.
There's
display default configuration. The game must ship with the default configuration on deck that results in a playable frame rate.
Do they say what the playable frame rate is?
They do not define what playable frame rate is. All right,
cool. I don't think it's defined.
Shrug emoji. Controller support, controller glyphs, resolution, default context, no device compatibility, and launchers. Da da da. That'll get you in. You're good to go. We've talked about this before. Does it run? Like, I don't like that squishiness. I'd be very happy for Steam Deck owners and everybody else to be able to extrapolate from saying, hey, on like low, whatever, can you hold like 40, but 45 is the sweet spot for the deck, right?
I think OLED, the original deck is like 40.
I think they're even at the beginning they were saying like their performance floor, they're looking at 720p/30. But like I don't know, when you bring a playable frame rate, like it's different for every game. Like Solitaire mm-hmm. does not have
the same playable frame rate. It's crazy subjective, man. I've learned, you know, I think a lot of people even at home, you've learned years and years ago when people are like, hey, how does it run? You're like, it's acceptable. And that person's idea of acceptable 720p with everything smashed to low at, you know, 20 FPS.
Right. Like, but if you're playing like a visual novel, like it doesn't fucking matter
how doesn't many frames
a second. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So. Then you get a balance and stuff like that. But for action games, I don't think that's a reason not to include. Just that seems like a very basic metric of like, and you got Steam refunds, so it's not that big a deal, but it would just be nice to be able to browse through that. Be like, am I going to have to like look up a guide to find out exactly what performance I need to just dial in just like this in order to get it kind of okay. It still
feels bad too as well. Like when you boot up the game and it's like, oh, this thing runs like shit. I guess I got to return it now. You were looking forward to it, right? Like it's not a pleasant experience. You want to avoid that whenever possible.
You know, they're still going to be able to capture your sale because if you're like me, like unless it just doesn't run at all, I'll be like, I'll have two thoughts. I'll have one, dumbass, you just deserve it. Eat it. I'm like, fine. Or two, you know what? XKCD that shit. In 5 to 6 years, you're going to be able to play it. Just slide it over there, man.
There might be a wine update in like 8 to 12 months that are right. Like, by the way, we fixed all this
now,
fucking performance shit.
Now all of a sudden
shit.
This game just works. No, yeah. Brilliant stuff like that. Yeah, Valve, if you're listening, that would just be a nice little hint. Or like, you know, say it can hit 30, like, or 45, or say what it can hit. Like that's not a big deal.
Can it hit 720p/30 on the Switch? Because then I think it can hit whatever on the Steam Deck.
I got a warning when I first started. It wasn't Evil West. It was Weird West. Weird West. That's the one. When I started, it's like the default configuration provides you with an acceptable performance. So it's like out of the box, it tells you, go to the settings.
Cut off ray tracing.
Yeah, no, because it defaults everything to ultra, which even on the 6700XE, the 6700XE is not enough to play that game on ultra at 2560x1440. It's just not. So
wait, weird. What is that? The fucking stick figure game?
No, that's West of Loathing.
Oh, okay. Yes, that helps my brain so much, dude. I'm like, what?
Listen, it is written very, very poorly. It is a bad piece of software. It is a great, fantastic game. Engineering wise, complete trash fire.
It's like 2D stick game, Ken. I was like, I believe it. Unfortunately, you know, doing what we do, but. Like,
okay. Oh yeah, this the Super Mario Brothers clone that takes 4 gigabytes. Why the game?
You know, I saw somebody on our game dev have a conversation. He's like, "What do I do about these old reviews? I've finally gone and updated my game to where it doesn't have the performance issues that it did, but I have like 3 or 4 reviews accusing it of being a Bitcoin miner because it was so horribly unoptimized." People were like, "You know, we've had remember that chess game."
Yes, yeah. That required at minimum an 8-core.
Yeah,
like but that was like designed as a stress test, though, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. The reason I think Pedro and I remember it is because like we mentioned that, and the developer got real snippy real quick. He was like,
"Yes,
no, it's not out," and then the game just disappeared. Yeah, and yes, children, get off our lawns. This was back in the time where you could actually mine bitcoins with a CPU. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, technically, you still can.
I mean,
it just takes a very long time.
I mean, will you 24/7. I got my Raspberry Pi 02W just hammering on it. Maybe one day.
Will you get your Bitcoin within your natural lifespan? That is
the question. No, I'm going to hand it down. It's going to be in the will. Our next update. It's kind of surprising. Team Fortress 2. Has, I would say, over the last, you know, 16 months, got more updates than it has in the past couple of years, which is good.
Well, the community did complain a lot that it wasn't getting any
at all. Overrun by bots, no attention, and you know, it's a free-to-play game, so you know, it's there to sell you some hats and some short shorts and whatever else you want to put on, you know. And Valve is like, okay, we're gonna do some work, we're gonna do some updates. And this is a big one. They've added 64-bit support for Windows and Linux clients and server, which is pretty dope. Valve said this should include performance updates for most users. This patch increases TF2's maximum FPS from a measly, barely playable 300 to something a little closer to reality, 400 FPS and
slightly acceptable.
Something they don't tell you in this update, but it is there because, you know, you got to go like, I bet they did 100% more Vulcan launch options. You can throw the Vulcan flag on a little dash Vulcan and get your LLAPs going on. Yeah, I'm good to see this. Now, Jordan, you bring up a funny point about...
It's the 64-bit client. It's like, okay, does the server actually use more than like four gigs of memory? Does it matter if it's a pure 64-bit right. application?
And I immediately went back to this guy gave a talk about setting up making a Team Fortress server with 100 players. And
right.
They went through that and they just kept buying more and more cores and throwing it out, and they're like, why isn't this working? Then they finally, like, somebody cracked open HTOP and found out that the server was single threaded.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Due diligence.
Part of the other part of the reason why TF2 is getting all these updates is because there's a shit ton of remote code execution and exploits happening. There was some custom decals that other people could spray that would cause your client to crash. That no longer works. So that's also nice. No more grief from the new detail.
But isn't it fun to have little things like that?
I mean, back in the day, you spray painted the naked lady on the wall in Counter-Strike to distract the motherfuckers. Uh-huh. They're like, ooh, boobies. And then you shoot them in the back of the head.
And
right?
It worked.
Like,
that was,
I mean, there was a certain amount of charm when you could legitimately get away with telling somebody to hit Alt F4 to open the secret menu.
Right, yeah.
F10. In Source games, it's F10. It's like, how do I do this? F10.
Control W to pay respects. Yeah.
I mean, it's all part of the hazing and learning process, but...
Learning keyboard shortcuts, man.
Right.
It's happening. Oh my god, like, what the fuck?
It's the end of the world!
This is marked on the end times, man. I went and checked my revised Mayan calendar, man. They put out a new one after 2012, and it turns out this game was on it. 7 days to Die is one of our last standing, predating early access, Steam Greenlight, and all that. Well over 12 years. It's finally coming out of early access, and they're very excited about that. And I'm just like, cool, I guess. Now, if you don't know, it is online zombies. What the fuck's going on with these traits? Like, hang on, we got to go take a trip here. They have a live action trailer now.
I guess they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the look of it,
got plenty of man leg in there.
Not enough butt for my tastes. They got to take some notes from the Shin Megami Tensei 5 trailer and have like way more cake.
Tons of side boob.
Now, one of the most, this game released date 2013, to give you an idea how long this has been early access. This has been like one of the Star 13 Wars.
13 years, man. $24.99. It's a man.
Did they set the date when they are going to be releasing? They had a detailed FAQ, which is.
Comprehensive FAQ here.
I'm on the wrong one. Where did I go? I'm on the wrong page. I'm doing a horrible thing. There we go. Did I say on the fact when it's going to like actually come out?
June.
Oh, it's going to be another June one.
Yep.
Oh, man.
They don't give a day. They're hoping for console launch in July and then some content packs in Q4 and Q4 2024 and 2025.
Now, again, 12 years, they're still working on finishing some of those Kickstarter stretch goals, so they're on it. Don't worry about it.
They'll get it eventually, yeah.
The price is going to go up from $24 to $44.99, and earlier, Pedro floored both of us, and maybe himself a little bit, by looking up the online player count, because I was sitting there going, I don't know, maybe like 200? He was like, no, it's a crazy amount. I'm like, 1,200 online players?
Well, no, I was expecting something like 5,000. No, 22,000 playing right now with a last 24-hour peak of 35,000.
I do know that my boss is one of these people because he periodically asks about 7 Days to Die. But he's also into like Tarkov and Star Citizen and shit. So I assume his hobbies are like games that will never actually release. But apparently he might have to drop this one now.
Oh, yeah, well, the 1.0 curse. This basically leaves us, like, with our original, like, games that came out on Linux and had Linux support, you know, 12 years ago that are still in early access. We're down to Project Zomboid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably the last one.
I think that was it.
I threw out Star Citizen, but that never actually got its looks.
Yeah, right. Let's keep this moving on, because a game that I might not ever finish, man, because I'm stuck in such an atrocious fuck box.
That seems to be the first experience of Zen for most people, even in the original Half-Life. This is Black Mesa, though, and I think they're aware of how long it's been since their last patch, because they call this one the Necro Patch. but yeah, no, they have some updates. They're the big one, you know, Linux Gamecasts. They're giving up on the Linux, the native Linux version. They're
like, how the fuck can they even say that with the truth? Is like you ever fucking tried?
Yeah. To be fair, the last time I tried to even start the game, it wouldn't launch properly, the native Linux version. So, yeah. And they are using the XVK for the Windows version anyway. So if you just run it with Proton, you're just using the XVK anyway. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but I can see why they're doing it. They're introducing better controller support. You can actually have, you know, proper Steam Deck. They actually did a bit of a second post about this patch, where they basically set the expectations for the deck. It's like, can't really promise that it'll be verified. We're going to try and make it as, you know, compatible with the Steam Deck as possible. Let me ask you
a question. Is Half-Life verified for Steam Deck?
The first one is, yes. That's why they did that re-release recently.
Oh, it is, is it?
Yeah.
Sounds like a them problem.
But no, also the I like where you stopped the scroll down there. Virus detection false positive. Yes, according to Windows Defender, it's malware. The new version of Black Mesa is malware. They're aware of what Vanguard it might have caused it.
I mean, you're dealing with people that can't get a Steam Deck verified. What do you expect? I mean, the virus code is messing up the ability. So I don't know, yeah, man. Like, I'm not against any of this. Dedicated server. What's the next project, Pedro? Is it the Blue Shift?
Yes. That's we've already seen a couple of screenshots that they posted, so I
yeah. That's what they say they're working on anyways.
Yeah.
And I hope they get around to doing Opposing Force, cuz I like those back in the day. Mm. Maybe they might even do Decay or the multiplayer.
Yeah, the PlayStation 2 multiplayer one. Just have a Black Mesa version of that. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
No, they're going to redo it. Did we were talking about the project that they're doing it on the Source tool?
Yeah.
It was the Half-Life. The oh god, I figured it was like some weird loop, man. Of like. The remake being made with the old one, but with the new one.
Oh, yeah,
the Black Mesa demake.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were taking all the level changes and stuff that they did in Black Mesa, and they're back doing it into
SRC.
Yeah,
okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Insanity. Now somebody needs to take that and move it to UE5 just for fun.
How does it run on my Switch?
Well, one thing it's going to do on your Switch is have support for gyro.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, you can do the wobble aiming, which might be good. But if we're going to talk about the... we're going to talk about it, baby.
Wobble aiming. About balls.
Golf with your friends. Speed Golf is out now. Why? Because we needed more chaos in this absolute chaos game. It's exactly what it says, man. I mean, it's first to the hole wins, which is an interesting... Man, I hadn't played that level yet. You don't get penalized for anything, do you? It's just like whoever gets to the end.
Yeah, anything goes.
Yeah, this looks like chaos. I think we're going to be playing this after Trackmania on this Friday. Now, if you want to join in on that in the after shows, and feel free to. This looks like a fun mode.
Yeah, it certainly gives you, like, especially when you're not worried about, like, keeping par and whatnot. It lets you be a little bit more cavalier. Apparently, they added breaks, too, so you can break your balls if you swing too hard.
I mean, yeah, it is race mode, so yeah.
It's pretty interesting. Tokyo Drift. In the show notes, like I was doing grammar checks on show notes because I can help myself. I'm a broken human being, and I went to correct your break, and I'm like, wait a minute.
That's an intentional pun. Yes.
Yeah. So when's this coming out? Is it already out?
Out now.
Yeah,
or I guess the critical hit pack is. That's the one with all the dice.
the speed golf, the race mode is out now. That's
that's what the picture says, and it can't lie, right? It's a picture.
It's in the article. It's the very top of the picture. So
we're still gonna get some hate mail. Like, you didn't actually read the fucking thing. It says this.
No, that was clearly generated by like 7 AIs or something.
I honestly like the racing mode for this. I can already hear the grunts and people screaming. Prophetess like, no, fuck, no, fuck.
I can hear Alan go, no, 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 no.
What they need to add is Doomball.
Yeah, the quick jump.
Yeah, yeah, quick jump. Yeah.
Make it so it's a great game. I had a good time playing it, and like they've, you know, it's kind of changed ownership. So over the years, from one team to the other, I think the Fun Pimps actually started making the original for this. It used to be kind of janky. They kind of ironed that out and turned it into a respectable game, also available on consoles these days. So there you go. Let's talk about everybody's favorite company. Isn't that right, Linus? Oh, he's excited. Look at him. Terribly excited. Why? Nuvo.
It's new.
We thought Nuvo was kind of dead. Like, the primary guy that was effectively the Nuvo project. You know what it was, Ben? A couple months ago. Probably closer to a year ago. He just is like, he didn't rage quit. He didn't throw a chair on his way out. He's just like, I'm good. Like, I've been working on this for like over a decade. I'm just not feeling it. I'll still be around. I might do some patches, but my days of reverse engineering NVIDIA hardware without any fucking documentation, NVIDIA, are over. I'm peacing out, guys. Don't worry about it. We were like, all right, man, you know what? We talked about it on this very show. I was like, you've done good work. Maybe somebody's going to pick it up. Maybe it's going to keep going. Lo and behold,
look who's Ben back.
Couldn't
Ben Skaggs
keep away, baby. He's like, you know what? Here's a bunch of patches. How many? 156. He's like, I've been busy, kids. And you're like, knew it. You just couldn't stay away, could you, Ben? Ben's like, well, yeah, it's pretty good. Might be fixing up some stuff. And like, I was like, all right, that's dope. I'm just like scrolling through it like I'm doing right now. I'm like, oh, okay, additions, deletions. And it just keeps going. So why are we even talking about this? Well, if you do a control F, and type in NVI. You see Ben's new email address at NVIDIA.com.
Yeah.
That's what you've been up to. Got it. Which, you know, part of me like grins because I have to imagine like after, you know, over a decade of like just smashing up against the brick wall of reverse engineering, the NVIDIA stuff, and genuinely being able to go into NVIDIA and they're like, here you go. Just you get it, like that first month's like, that's how that fucking worked.
You have to also have to imagine it's like, this is what they're fucking doing. God damn it.
I mean, yeah, production code, right? Like, how does that even work? That even works, but still, he's there. And apparently, I mean, we haven't heard anything about his official position or anything, but they just dropped 150 patches to the Nuvo project. So I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I think NVIDIA has like a vested interest in maintaining a decent open source driver stack because you still need something to actually install the proprietary drivers. Otherwise, that big expensive NVIDIA card you bought is kind of useless in your server. I wonder how much. And again, you as you mentioned, like we don't know how long this has been going on or whatever. But like,
I'm assuming like 2 weeks after he left Red Hot.
Because there's also the Gia Tan thing where it's like, you know, big companies are realizing, hey, maybe we should pay these open source developers. Probably not related. This is probably just like good coincidence.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when you end up with the NVIDIA.com email address, you're not just getting like donations.
No.
There's probably paperwork and health insurance and shit involved in that.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like you can hire people like the dude who found the fucking XZ issue, right? He was a Microsoft employee benchmarking some Postgres shit, right? Like
this is a smart move on NVIDIA's part. And you know, it's win-win for everybody, and the conspiracy theorists are gonna go, that's one way to stop people from reverse engineering your card and quit peeking around on your hardware, just hire the guy that's doing it. Like, yeah.
Then again, you also have the example of Valve, who's been actively paying developers to fix AMD's drivers. So yeah, there's
yeah, but you see, Nvidia's better. They hire them instead of just making them contractors.
That's the thing.
Good guy Jensen, isn't that? Don't disappear me, Jensen.
This is a very good thing. Just giving money to the developer to get them to do what they've been doing all along. It's probably a very good idea. Don't fuck it up now, Nvidia.
And if you're wondering what this is, it's just a collection of like GSP, because the GSP firmware got pushed out right before Ben's like a piece I'm done in, and just general code cleanup. Like just get the bits kind of lined up, because I'm sure there's going to be a whole lot more coming here.
I also wonder, like, in regards to, like, the clean room implementation stuff, there's probably a bunch of stuff that Ben can't, like, contribute to now because he has visibility into, like, proprietary code for, like, liability purposes.
Yeah, but he's also got a dump truck full of money.
That's, I mean, this is less so a concern for Ben and more a concern for the Nouveau project.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Ben's fine.
but Ben's good. Ben,
good on you, Ben.
Yeah.
Another but cheers.
This is just more like, will they have to like, oh, we have to reject a couple of these patches because like, Ben knows how that actual code works.
You think about it though, man. Like, yeah, they might, but this could, you know, like my head wants to say like Nvidia just like sniped him from Red Hat. You know,
Ben is very possible too.
Could right? happen, and but it could have been a very different timeline. If Ben genuinely was like, you know what, I'm burnt out on this. I've done good. I got some money put away. I'm just going to, you know, take a sabbatical for a little while, and maybe he was chilling out. Then, you know, just out of the sky, a leather jacket floats down, lands next to him, and he wasn't thinking twice about it because it's a harmless leather jacket. Put it up, boom, NVIDIA employee. That's how that happens. That's how they.
No, the leather jacket fell, and there's just like wads of cash in the pockets. And he's like, oh, I see how it is.
Right, that's how we're doing it? Okay.
But, I mean, it could have been a situation where NVIDIA's like, all right, we got to get serious about this open source shit, because we got to be moving all this X, Y, and Z, and everybody wants, you know, they don't want to deal with their proprietary fucking drivers and server space now, because X reasons, and we got to get on this.
Those AI farms have a lot of machines that you need to manage, right? Like,
right. And then,
yes.
I couldn't think of a better person to hire.
Yeah, no, hire the guy who, like, has shown to know what he's doing. And again, like, yeah, it's better to have Ben than another Giatan, right?
All right, motherfuckers. Did either of you grow up with a delicious taste of 6 degrees of freedom in your face? DOF
TIE
gaming.
Fighter. lots of TIE Fighter and Wing Commander.
I saw a trailer for one of the Descents that came with my CD copy of Half-Life. If I'm remembering that right.
You know, it's great that you bring up Descent, because our next story, Pedro Mateus.
It is very much Descent 3. You may remember a long time ago, we threw chairs at it when it came out on Linux, yes. And, well, the source code is now out. GPL3, it's on GitHub. You can check it out. You can build it on Linux. There's some concerned efforts of getting it, you know, building it properly and improved on Linux. They did strip out some of the proprietary Interplay middleware. No official word from Interplay directly. Interplay, which is relevant these days because the Fallout show is kind of popular and they're the original rights holders for Fallout 1 and Fallout 2 and Icewind Dale and Icewind Dale 2 and a bunch of other games. They were a fairly prolific publisher back in the day. But yeah, they haven't said anything official, but apparently the dev got the go-ahead from at least one person there, so eh. And yeah, considering the state that Interplay themselves are in, it's probably better if they don't say anything, because...
Well, I mean, according to the guy who like releases, had this for 15 years, he just called up the owner, and he's like, hey, can I release this with these bits? And they're like, yeah, sure. I mean, anything beyond that is just speculation.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And this is like the best case scenario because, you know, Ruscott has been on a kick of stopkillinggames.com. And this is the best case scenario. You have an old game that maybe doesn't work properly on modern day operating systems. Release the source code. Let people have at. Let people play your game. It's seriously, just let people play the game that you spent a bunch of money and a bunch of time building. Just let them do it.
I have nothing really to add to this. I have no opinion on dissent whatsoever.
Why not? It's cool to see. What are you going to dissent? Why do you hate 6 degrees of freedom?
I just hate freedom in general. I want 1 degree of freedom. I want to go forward and backwards, and maybe even going backwards is a little too much. Only forwards.
You're thinking to yourself, man, what do I need? I just download it and play it. No, let me tell you how this is going to work out. You need the original bite. You need your game asset. So you probably pop over to GOG, or you get it on Steam for like $1 or whatever it costs these days. Linux. There'll be a link to a repo of
the work in progress.
Lanadon is working on it. I like right when this came out, I dropped it in our Discord and I tried to build it. And I was like, I'm complaining about something. And like, you know, a femtosecond after that, Rohit's like, yep, crashing there. And he started looking at it. He found this guy who's already working on getting it to work on modern Linux. Multiplayer doesn't work right now. So, and a couple other niceties. It'll be good to see. I mean, it's there. This is how you preserve shit right here, man.
Yeah.
You release the source, and I'm always happy to see it. And sometimes all it takes is that phone call. So if you're in that position, like maybe you've been sitting around with source code 15 years like this guy, and they're like, yeah, well, you know, there's some things like, you know, video encoding stuff that we'd have to replace and never get around to it. Just make that comment. Like, hey, we're just going to release it in this state. And like whoever has it, and you might be surprised. They might just go, yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes, though, you need a little bit of encouragement. Sometimes you need a little bit of kitty to sprinkle on that.
Maybe
to
a little help.
To release that source code. Yeah. So this comes from bleepingcomputer.com. All of the links to all this stuff are in our show notes, as usual. Yeah, so you might remember a while ago, Hello Kitty had a bit of a old ransomware epidemic, and a bunch of people had their files scooped up and ransomed, and apparently they have the hacker group has finally Gookie or Cappuccino has finally made good on their threat and released a bunch of a big old dump, including some CD Projekt Red code that includes The Witcher, Cyberpunk, Gwent, a bunch of their dev tools.
And by some, you mean enough to compile Witcher 3.
Yeah, I was getting to that. They do have it compiled now from source, and I am looking forward to Open Itcher 3. And like, I just think back to, you know, back when Steam machines were coming out and they're like, yeah, Witcher 3 native on Linux. And I'm like, oh my God, the prophecy, Street Fighter 5 is finally going to release on Linux. But no, this is very cool. I look forward to all of the Liam Hemsworth mods that are coming out through this.
I wouldn't be surprised if having access to the source code actually makes the modding scene for The Witcher 3 a bit more vibrant, you know, add a bit more variety to the mods, because there's only so many nudie mods and skimpy outfits for Ciri that you can get.
I want big old tits on Geralt. That's what I want.
Both of you are missing. We need Witcher 3 Arena. Open Witcher 3 Arena.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where Geralt just goes, hup.
No. When I hit people with my sword, it goes, doop. Dude, when that first came out, we were beta testing. Yes, way back when there was a beta test for Quake 3 Arena, and it had a Linux client because we were just living in the future. Loki games existed in like AAA titles. You just played them on Linux. That wasn't a big deal. None of us believed that that sound was going to make it to the final game. Like, that's just a placeholder asset that everybody knows what I'm talking about if you played Quake 3.
The hit marker sound.
I, myself included, I was floored when I played. Like, what? Fuck you guys, man. Like, they just kept it in there. It does suck because CD Projekt Red just started rolling out limited access on Steam to like their like steroided up like level designer and creator and modifier for Witcher 3. Yeah, you never like to see stuff like this, but I mean, game preservation or something, I don't know, whatever.
Could be helpful as well. We were talking a couple weeks ago about that guy who was digging through old dumps of the Source Engine code to figure out why people couldn't play Counter-Strike on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. So like this kind of stuff is useful even if they do release the like a full-on modding tools. You probably want to use that anyways because like this is the one that the developers are actively supporting. But, you know, when you get into some weird situations about like, hey, this thing isn't behaving the way I expected, being able to look at the code and go like, oh, that's why. It's kind of handy.
Especially for like single player games and stuff like this. And, you know, sometimes this might be a good nudge in the right direction for, you know, CD Projekt Red to be like, okay, let's rip out any third party stuff and like make it an official controlled release. So yes. People aren't downloading the bonus Witcher 3 free exe.ru.cx edition.
Witcher3.ru, yeah.
/minor. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it does put them in that position, because I know if I'd sit there, I'm like, shit, all right, we got to get this together and make an official channel for it, because these morons out there will just download, you know, free Witcher, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they will, and someone will absolutely make a killing off of pushing more ransomware out to people. Yes.
I mean, however, that's probably one of the pirated copies of Witcher 3 out there anyways, right?
Yeah.
Mark my words, I give you my solemn word, pinky swear. If we get Witcher 3 co-op mod, we'll play some Witcher.
The Coocher?
The Coocher.
who could, Pedro, you gotta play as Dandelion, though. Oh, you get to loot.
I want to be Roach.
You know what? You get that and AK-47. All right, that's the only two.
So Witcher Pal World Edition.
Yeah, you're just like, you can have the grenade launcher.
I'm the bard with the grenade launcher.
I'm gonna be Geralt in my tank, like normal.
Yeah, I'm gonna be Roach, but I'm gonna have like a giant like laser gun mounted on my back.
No, you're just Ciri, Jordan. You get to play as Ciri.
No, see, Ciri is an actual character. I want to be something useless.
You know what? I wouldn't mind playing a what's his name, the dwarf guy. Oh, runs the tavern.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Anyway, somebody bring it up.
It's one of the seven dwarves. That's who it's supposed to be.
Yes, right? Snow White showed up. You know, with Uzis, it's brilliant. If you want to tell us what that dwarf's name is, what you think about game source code getting leaked, and you know, just in general game preservation, what's thoughts in your brain meats? Tell you to do that. Head over to LinuxGameCast.com. We got a contact button. That's how you get a hold to us. There's a little box down there. Type some stuff in. If that's not your thing, drop a comment on the YouTube video. Fam, smash a bell or some shit. And if you like the video, I guess click them. But if you don't like the video, really let YouTube know. I want you to click that thumbs down twice. Okay.
Comment some more. Drive up that engagement, or yeah. Don't.
Man, we have the most. Don't do that. We have like the most talkative in our super secret Discord versus like in the same people who be like meh on a YouTube comment, but like yeah. Paragraphs in Discord. I'm like, all right, cool, man.
Mode switching, man. It's what it is.
But if you throw some stuff in our direction, we might read it right here on this very show. And we got a little bit of a mention. We talked about not Panzer Dragoons, because I read, oh, it's the dragon game. My brain immediately went, let's fly around and drag
with not
our
that one.
In dragons. Yeah, no, yes, yeah, let's put on our dragon suits.
Not Sega, Sony. Yeah. Yeah, this is from the makers of Severed Chains. Drew writes back and says, hey there, thank you for taking a moment to look at Severed Chains. This is just the beginning for the program, too. We just started cracking open multiplayer for the purposes of like long-distance co-op and PvP in the hero competition. Do give us another look later in the year. That's pretty cool. I do know that, if I remember this right, there may have been like a native P2 in Legend of Dragoon, because you could have like multiple people like take on a single player, or
I don't know. I want to write them back.
I might be thinking of one of the Final Fantasies did that.
So this is like RPG, right?
Yeah, it is an RPG.
This is kind of, mm-hmm. We have Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's
Final a JRPG of that time. Yes.
Yep. No, it was very much a response to like the Final Fantasy VII.
He does say long distance multi. What about moderate distance multiplayer?
Can't do it.
Damn it!
It's too fast.
Yeah, you might be able to do the next city over, but if you're sitting like across the street from one another, can't do it.
I mean, that looks like some PlayStation pixels, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a PS1 game, right?
Like, yeah,
it's a JRPG from around 1995-6-ish.
Admittedly, yeah, wobbly pixels is a video game. You know, you remember how that works.
I mean, we did take a look at Severed Chains, and it does look a lot more crisp than mm-hmm. than this. If you turn on the scaling,
they have the 4K mode, which yes, it you can count the polygons on the characters' heads at that point.
It's great.
No, it's gotta play it in the original 4x3 at 120x121 aspect.
It's like going through new Metal Gear Solid games with like the PS1 head. It's great because like everyone has like super emotive faces, and you're just like. Rectangle?
Hey, everybody involved with this project, if you're still listening, yeah, keep up the great work with us. I don't even play these types of games, but if you give me some multiplayer, I'll join these guys and we'll, slap whatever the scorpions and birds and stuff like that.
We'll legend all the dragoons.
Yeah. Can I be the flying dragon?
We'll take turns slapping dragons.
Yes. You can. One of the deals in this game is you transform into a dragon.
Can you fly around?
No, I don't think so.
See, deal breaker. I said flying dragon.
I don't want. To I mean, they fly in the combat screen.
Broke
they
ass bitch dragons got to walk everywhere, man.
Dragons are expensive, man. Do you think Game of Thrones money?
Roller skates is a lot.
Flying, look, it's like games nowadays where jumping is contextual, flying is contextual.
No, if you want to jump, you got to pay extra. It's like 0.01 cents a jump.
How far? How many years away are we from like double jump being a fucking microtransaction?
They would do it right now if they think they could get away with it.
Yeah,
they would have done it years ago if they thought they could get away with it.
Can you just imagine that? You're playing like a 2D platformer Metroidvania and you just can't get up there. Then you're like, wait, what's going on? You go to online and you're like, oh, you got to buy the double jump.
They straight up wanted you either. Like, what was it? Richitello was like, no, you got to like, when you're playing a shooter, when you run out of bullets, there should be a little prompt that says, do you want to buy more bullets? Just shoot them into your, load them into your guns so you can keep shooting. That's what they want.
Wasn't he the one who called people a fucking idiot if they weren't actively maximizing profits in their games all the time?
I mean, if I call company, people fucking idiots all the time. So. Yes.
People walking around thinking companies care about them. I'm like, wake the hell up, children. I mean, they've done that with I saw somebody going on about World of Warcraft. Like, I've never played World of Warcraft, but they were talking about just why how it was kind of the beginning of with the mount. Right. And you pay with the mount, and they were like, this is the end. People thought I was crazy. And like, now you can buy gold with money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a whole on cottage industry now.
Like, yeah. In my day, you needed people to farm
gold, and you had to buy it from a third party. Mm-hmm. No.
Now you can, instead of, paying the third party, you pay the.
Yeah.
Game developer directly.
You put the money right into Bobby Kotick's pocket. He just opens it up and you stick the cash in there and you get your WoW gold.
Awesome. Hey, if you want to put some Bobby Kotick's in our pockets, you can do that.
Do you have a Kotick in your pocket? Or are you just happy to see?
A little bit of none, man. A little bit of none. Smash that can.
Smash that Kotick button.
No, no Kotick buttons. We're not doing it, brain. Get out of here. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/LinuxGameCast, where you can get this show in downloadable format, higher quality than you're going to get on YouTube or anyplace else or Odyssey. We make that available commercial free. I even snuck in our cocaine, 2-cane Voltron Titanium Savior song as a download last week, if you want that, and access to our pre super shows and that we do before the show each and every week. It's what passes for our production meeting. Air quotes around production meeting on that. But you can
we talked about live. Super some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, super some shit.
Talk about food. Talk about the shows that we watch.
Feel uncomfortable saying that there's anything remotely resembling a topic.
Sometimes some stuff escapes the pre super shows and makes it into the main show.
Yes.
So if you want that little crumb of context. Right.
You're like, hey, wait a minute.
Oh, you can get that reference.
Yeah. Yes. Think of it as DLC.
Think of it as a horse you can buy in Elder Scrolls.
Yes.
No, just the armor for the horse.
We're going to give you that in MP3 format along with the live and uncut. If you can't make the live shows, but you want that live experience, you can always wait a week. It's on our Live and Uncut channel on YouTube. If you want that, but you're like, fuck YouTube, I ain't got time for that. Give an MP3 of that. If you want to download it, that's available for patrons. We get a bunch of different tiers, a bunch of different accesses. And one of the big ones is access to our Discord. We got a super secret Discord where we're at the other 6 days of the week, just talking smack. Everybody uses it. We're all in there. And it's a ride. Let me just put it like that. It's a ride. Thank you for your support. Things are possible. But I want to thank a long time member of our little motley crew, Turbo Trace Slot.
One of your filthy casuals.
One of our filthy casuals. You can always hop into our Discord if you're a Twitch subscriber. You can link it up. Same way with Patreon. It's just to keep the re out. And he's been playing with us. We do Trackmania on Tuesdays and Fridays. New maps. It's great. If you're old, and you feel like you need that break from adulting on a Tuesday or Friday, it's a great, great excuse to get together with fellow like-minded olds and like back in my day, but still trying to keep your digits lined up with your brain mates, you know, trying to do something a little bit engaging. And even if you're not into racing, because it's really more like physics platforming, come check it out. But he's been a member for a long time, and he's the reason to set up the RPG server. And he's like, you know what? I won't put a ring on it. He's joined us at the Chicago Kicks Ass level of 666. That's right. Not evil when it does handstands, man. And I had to explain to him last night. Me and Oki were talking back and forth. I was like, do you know where Chicago Kicks Ass comes from?
He did not.
Mm.
I guess he needs to watch more Adam Sandler movies.
Well, we were talking about the Happy Gilmore remake, or not remake, but sequel that's coming out. And yeah, we worked it back. If you don't know, watch Little Nicky, and you'll understand where Chicago Kicks Ass comes from. It's the shiznit of a movie, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Turbo. Your name's going to be in the credits that are about to roll because it's time to cue the music. You can check this out every Saturday night, 8:30 Eastern Standard Moon Time, right here on Twitch. It's on the schedule over at twitch.tv. It's a podcast. We're available everywhere. Go download it. Put it in your face. And if you want to get in touch with me, I'm Vin Stone on the X's, on the Twitters. And we have a federated Mastodon instance, mast.linuxgamecast.com. I'm just at Vin there. And I'm probably still the only Vin that uses bluesky.social or .bsky app or whatever it's called.
I'm Jordan. If you want to shove pineapples into my holes, you can find me on Mastodon at Frojo at mast.linuxgamecast.com, at Frojo at bsky.app, or at The Burning Fool on Twitter.
And I am pineapple. At unaccounted for on mast.linuxgamecast.com. Follow me there. If you post interesting stuff on any of the federated ones that our particular instance can see, I will totally follow you back.
Are we federated with Threads? Do we get Facebook now?
I gotta finish up setting Pedro's LinkedIn profile up. Give me a minute.
Okay. His sexy LinkedIn profile?
I still have a LinkedIn profile. Yeah. I just don't use it.
You gotta make it your sexy one. Get all the mans.
I gotta get some sexy clothes first. Just ask Marie to take some sexy pictures and away we go.
I want to see what Pedro thinks a sexy picture of himself looks like. We got to thank our advisors, Omega Sartherum, our executive producers, Barbara M. Scott, Atomic, Mike, Tomaj, David, Eshep, Ian, Kernucky, 12345, and our Chicago Kexas here with new members. Fucking Tree Sloth, King Bonj, Eggy, Empty, and Super Dust Dude. I had to do that in reverse order.
And the Sea Monsters, Renault, Rider X, Machina, Torchy, Veritanuta, Justin, Darkwing, System D, Dancing Joe, the Kresny, and Ogi One. With the Death Notes, Nafa, Chad, Romeo, Renee, Leonardo, Kim, Chris, Stephen, Jill, Benjamin, Doom 2.Wad, Stephen B, Beck, Dodger, Zeno, Rue, Turnover, Pebble, M Foxox, Fine, Jalot, and Piper. They're so tiny, but I still got him. And all the channelings, yes. Like D-Spec 12 and Casey Clism from last week didn't get a proper thank you. Thank you, Casey.
And the fuckers flying in the distance.
Gimli wouldn't help him out, man. I tried. I was like, Gimli, can you give me a picture of a sexy Pedro? And I was like, nah, man. That's Dempsey.
Confidently striding through a bustling city street with a pint of a smile playing on his lips. Or maybe he's gazing intently in the distance. A glint of determination in his eye. Can you give me either of those, Pedro?
A sexy glint.
Give me a sexy glint.
Boy looks constipated.
Yeah, I would call the cops.
Yeah, probably. Safe bet. Die to fire, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Five dudes.